Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 9th of November, Anno Domini 2008, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, things you can choose.
Well, one thing we shouldn't mention to folks
to lose.
That will be, this is being all rerouted.
Yeah.
And switched around just when you thought you figured out the game plan. We're changing it up for you folks. If you're listening to this, you're listening to it on Saturday, and there's an SU football game going on.
Right. If you're listening on the webcast, if you're listening via the podcast, this could be any time.
Yep. But what they've done is evidently they got rights to broadcast the Buffalo Bills game on the web, so they're bumping us over to Saturdays. And on Saturdays, whatever time the SU football game is on, we're going to be on for that first hour. So if they're on at 1 o'clock, we'll be on from 1 to, say, 2 on the web during the SU football games because they can't broadcast those over the web. So they're moving us over to Saturdays. But like you say, if you want to get it, just listen to us on the podcast.
However, if you're listening to us before the 16th, then you should know that on the 16th, Sunday the 16th.
Next Sunday.
We're live, well, from yes.
Oh, yeah.
If assuming you're listening to this before the 16th, it'll be this coming Sunday. We are live on the air once again from 11 to
yeah, what 11 time to, is
1?
It again?
To 1. As we, I forgot the time. Who the hell knows when we're on ever anymore?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. We'll be on from 11 to 1. Dave has promised us a rant.
Oh, yes.
So we'll have that, and we'll have a regular show. Hopefully, we'll actually get some phone calls. People will... actually think to actually listen, and so they'll call in. So those are the things we're all looking forward to next week. In the meantime, however, there are some things you need to know. Let's start with Wi-Fi encryption. Security researchers say they've developed a way to partially crack the Wi-Fi protected access, or WPA, encryption standard used to protect data on many wireless networks. The attack, described as the first practical attack on WPA, will be discussed at the PACSEC conference in Tokyo this coming week. Or if you're listening to this next Saturday, you missed it. There, researcher Eric Tews will show how he was able to crack WPA encryption in order to read data being sent from a router to a laptop computer. The attack could also be used to send bogus information to a client connected to the router. To do this, Tews and his co-researcher Martin Beck found a way to break the temporal key integrity protocol, or TKIP, TKIP key, used by WPA in a relatively short amount of time, 12 to 15 minutes. And they have not, however, managed to crack the encryption keys used to secure data that goes from the PC to the router in this particular attack. Security experts have known that TKIP could be cracked using what's known as a dictionary attack. Using massive computational resources, the attacker essentially cracks the encryption by making an extremely large number of educated guesses as to what key is being used to secure the wireless data. The work of Tews and Beck does not involve a dictionary attack, however, which is why it can be done in 12 to 15 minutes instead of 40 to 7,000 hours, depending on the speed of your machine. To pull off their trick, the researchers first discovered a way to trick a WPA router into sending them large amounts of data. This makes cracking the key easier, but this technique is also combined with a mathematical breakthrough that lets them crack WPA much more quickly than any previous attempt. Tews is planning to publish the cryptographic work in an academic journal in the coming months. Some of the code used in the attack was quietly added to Beck's Aircrack NG Wi-Fi encryption hacking tool 2 weeks ago. WPA is widely used on today's Wi-Fi networks and is considered a better alternative to the original WEP, Wired Equivalence Privacy Standard, which was developed in the late 1990s. Soon after the development of WEP, hackers found a way to break its encryption, and it is now considered insecure by most security professionals. Store chain DJ Max was in the process of upgrading from WEP to WPA encryption when it experienced one of the most widely publicized data breaches in U.S. history, in which hundreds of millions of credit card numbers were stolen over a two-year period. A new wireless standard known as WPA2 is considered safe from the attack developed by Tews and Beck, but many WPA2 routers also support WPA. If WPA is significantly compromised, it would be a big blow for enterprise customers who have been increasingly adopting it. Although customers can adopt Wi-Fi technologies such as WPA2 or virtual private network software that will protect them from this attack, There are still many devices that connect to the network using WPA or even the thoroughly correct WEP standard, which leads us, of course, to our poll of the week. The poll, which is found on our website at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, do you use WPA on your home router? And the choices are yes, no, I use nothing. No, I use WEP. No, I use WPA2. Wait, they have routers for the home now? So far, we have, and I'm just waiting for the thing to refresh, 48 votes. 27% of you use WPA2, so that's kind of nice. When you're done taking the poll, of course, there you will have things to say. So take a look at the little yellow box underneath. If you click Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Ding.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we already have three comments already, and that's kind of nice.
Now this, as you said, the WPA2 is still secure.
Still safe.
Doesn't
WPA2
it use TKIP also?
Well, apparently
better. Yeah. So this is a subtle difference. They didn't actually break the encryption. They broke the key that creates the encryption.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, that's so, right up there with your article in today's paper for folks that didn't read it. The guy with the Wi-Fi, he goes down to Florida and he says, keeps going in and out and in and out. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, you're stealing somebody else's Wi-Fi, and you're complaining that it. How do you fix the fact that it goes out?
Yeah.
Call the guy up and say, "I've been stealing your Wi-Fi. Could you fix it for me?
Boost the signal, please."
Yeah, right.
We had a customer come into the store and buy a wireless card for his computer. Came back an hour later to return it because there was nobody in his apartment building he could steal Wi-Fi from. And that wasn't in our return policy.
Yeah. Yes, I understand that. Yeah, they've got little wireless
key fobs. Yeah.
Key fobs, $20, and it tells you whether or not there's a signal and how strong it is.
Yep.
It would seem to me that would be cheaper if you don't know what you're doing. Yeah.
But there's so many folks that are trying to do that and complain, you know, because the signal goes out. And I had another client, kept going in and out. It kept going in and out on him and that, and he couldn't understand why, because he kept, losing it, and sometimes it was good, or it disappeared.
Right.
Because the guy went away for a week, and he shut everything down. He goes, it disappeared. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It's not yours.
It's not yours. Although we have some very high-end clients, and sometimes their houses are too big for one router.
Yes.
And you have to put another router. Or what's really
common.
A repeater. What's really common for a lot of the new houses now is all the wiring is done in the basement.
Right.
So that's where your cable router comes in. That's where all your phone stuff comes in. And what's in the ceiling of most basements? Giant metal I-beams.
Exactly.
To block that wireless signal. So we got to run one wire up. Then we had one client that they couldn't get it on their porch when you could see the router through the window. Found out they had leaded
glass
windows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the other side of the kitchen, all that metal appliances in the kitchen.
We have, our house is very old and decently sized. The big problem we have is that most of our walls are plaster over chicken wire.
Yep.
So our entire house is one big Faraday cage. So I actually have a repeater that that I can set up when we want to go in the backyard. Normally that's not on, of course, because it leaks everywhere. And then I can move that to the other to the front of the house if we want to sit on the porch and work.
There's a patch out now that you can, Dan, my partner, did it to his router, that evidently you can set him up to run Linux. And you got to flash the BIOS, but it's tricky, and you got to be careful what you're doing. I don't recommend it for the lighthearted, but it will also boost the signal.
Yeah, you can
He's done it, he said before he was losing a lot of packets and everything else, and things were running really crappy. Since he did this flash, he says he hasn't lost something in months.
Yep. Yeah, it's easy enough to do. Belkin, as you remember, had this thing where they were hijacking your signal every once in a while, and that gave them...
So it would redirect you to their page now and then.
Right, every once in a while it would direct you to a page. And, of course, they were lambasted for it. People stopped buying Belkin products for the longest time. They apologized to the world and stopped doing it. apparently people don't learn from history. Now Linksys is doing the same thing. So you need to be very careful if you're going out to buy a router nowadays. It looks like Netgear is the only place left to go to buy stuff that isn't compromised by a lack of integrity.
And you have to be careful when you're buying routers. The cheaper routers only have WEP.
Yeah.
Right.
The $40, $50 routers. You have to spend the $70, $80 or more to get the WPA. And a lot of them I've seen, WPA, WPA2 is one setting. You can't split them.
Well, right. I also had another client, though, had an old laptop. And the rest of his machines in the house, his wife had a relatively new laptop, and so did his son. And, you know, they're getting onto the wireless, no problem. They're going all over the house. Well, he hooked up this other laptop, and he's going, well, there's something wrong with the router that you set up. It can't get on, blah, blah. Going up, and I said, well, bring in the laptop. It turns out the laptop is a very old card, and it'll only do WEP.
Right.
And I've got them set up for two.
Right.
And he goes, well, then lower it so I can get on. I go, then I might as well just turn it off.
Yeah, if you can get on, the bad guys get on.
He goes, what do you mean? At least there's some security. I says,
no.
The average person can hack that in no time, and it's like, you might as well not have it on.
You can download free automated tools that'll break.
Well, the wife goes, if you do, you're sleeping in the garage. He says, leave it on.
Yeah.
with the computing power of her wristwatch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the thing that you have to remember. Those of you who do wireless a lot, particularly not at home, right? You have to be very careful of how you set up your system. Your best bet is if you're going to go somewhere to use some form of tunneled encryption, whether you create a virtual private network or you use SSH if you're a Unix type wonk or whatever, but don't just trust the encryption. Make sure any site you go to is HTTPS, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things, by the way, that you should know about is Google Gmail. Those of you who use Gmail, in the settings at the very bottom of the page, you can select a button that says always use HTTPS.
Right.
And I think that's very, very important because what that means is if you are not using HTTPS, anybody else in range of that signal can read your email. Let me repeat that. Anybody else in range of that signal can read your email. And if you're not careful, they could get your username and password very easily, and then they own your email. So make sure that if you're using Gmail, you go into the settings.
Any webmail service.
Well, any webmail service, make sure, see if you know that. But I know in Gmail, if you go down to the bottom of the page, there's a choice between HTTP and HTTPS. And the S stands for secure, so use it. Mm-hmm.
And if you do have to do high security type stuff, or you're just, you know, safety conscious, there are several VPN services. The OpenVPN is a big one.
Yep.
Where you can create an OpenVPN connection from your computer to the VPN server, which then does encrypt all of your data, even if it's on an unencrypted wireless signal.
Yeah, but if you're really paranoid about security, then who the hell are these OpenVPN people? And they're reading all my data.
Right. So install the VPN server on your own computer.
Well, what a lot of people forget, and I assume this is still true because I've never seen anything to the contrary, BlackBerry. If you use a BlackBerry, all of your data goes through a server in Canada. All of it.
Mississauga, isn't it? Just outside of Toronto.
Just outside of Toronto, as a matter of fact.
Apple took a couple of digs at BlackBerry when they announced their iPhone and said, make sure your mail doesn't go to foreign countries.
Exactly. And I don't understand why every senator and congressman has a BlackBerry and doesn't seem to be bothered by the fact that their data goes through a server in Canada. Well, okay, Canada is our neighbor to the north. And what do they say about Canada? It's like living upstairs from a really great party.
Yeah. Well, the congressmen believe in no borders. So
Right. So there you are.
That's
if I were a United States Congress individual, I certainly wouldn't like it if my mail and everything else I was doing went through a server in a foreign country. But I guess that's just me, and that's why I'm not in Congress. Did you hear that? I don't think I have this as a story. Did you hear that Obama's going to be... I do have that as a story. Let's not talk about it now. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
That's a news tease for...
It's a news tease.
Stay tuned. All right, let's tell you what. Let's grab something from the mailbag here. And I've got Norm B. from Rochester. I'll just leave it at that. And this one's to you, Nick. I guess we don't count because it says, problem. Dear Nick, I run the security Tango yesterday, and it took 12 hours to run. I couldn't even run Adaware because when I tried to install Adaware 2008, it kept saying that there's an error occurred and stopped the install. This time, including 4 hours and 50 minutes to run Stinger, which says in your instructions should take very little time to run. I have an e-machine.
Well, duh!
5212 with Windows XP Media Edition and Service Pack 3. I have 2.67 gigahertz with 896 RAM and 180 gig hard drive with 21.5 gigabytes occupied. The hard drive runs continuously during the process, and the CPU varies between 50 and 70%. What would be causing this to take so long? Obviously, I only run it occasionally due to the extreme amount of time involved.
Well, there's several things at work here. One, of course, is the fact that you're on an e-machine.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a very fast, it's a fast processor. You have an acceptable amount of RAM, and you don't seem to have much data on your hard drive. But you also have a Celeron processor in that machine, which means no cache, no nothing. And
you can have it cheap, fast, or good. Pick two.
Right. And you pick cheap.
Yep.
And the thing of it
Wait,
is...
Wait, you're missing either of the other two.
Yeah.
And the other thing is if you've got those, if you've run them once and everything else is up to date, in other words, your antivirus software is up to date and the Adaware and the SpyBot and all those are staying up to date, you don't have to run them again every month or a couple of weeks. As
right.
long as those are up and running, run them once. You don't have to recheck it again, you know, periodically every 2 weeks, as long as those are up and up to date.
Does he say if he finds anything at the end
no.
of these exceptionally long runs?
That was the whole email.
Yeah.
Right. Well, see, the other point is, what do you find? If you find nothing, and Dave is right, if everything is up to date, then I would suggest that running the full Tango is not something you have to do regularly. The other part of this, unfortunately, has to do with human observation. You should know what your machine runs like when it's running normally.
Yep. A good feel for it.
And then you really need to run the Tango when it starts running abnormally. It's the same with your car. You drive your car every day, and then you're driving along, you think, wow, it's pulling to the right. I better take it to the shop. Same idea with a computer. It's running fine, and you think, that's not right. It's too slow doing this, or
slow on
suddenly I can't run that, or whatever it might be. That's when you run the Tango. It's not something you do every day or every. You don't take your car into the shop for a tune-up every week. You take it up once or twice a year, and when there's a problem, that's how you do it. And that's the point behind the Tango. It's very much like taking in your car for a tune-up. You don't do it regularly. I mean, you do it regularly, but the regularly is very far spaced, very far apart. It's not like you're doing it every 3 weeks or every 2 weeks. I people come to me at market my. Well, I'll put in a plug for us. We're at the Rochester Public Market, and we own Flower City Coffee Company.
When's the website going up?
Yeah, talk to Elaine.
Well, actually, it's mostly up, except there's a SQL error.
Yeah, there is, because she doesn't have... Never mind.
There's no products in the database.
We aren't going there now. Look, this is us not going there now. I would like to sleep indoors tonight. We're not going there now.
Is it still dulce de leche?
Yeah, yes, it does, as a matter of fact. We're not going to any of those places
okay.
now. I'm simply the grunt worker there, okay?
We
own a coffee stand at the public market, Flower City Coffee, and I've completely forgotten where... Oh, people come up all the time and ask me computer questions, and of course, I have to tell them I'm here to sell coffee. That's what I'm here for. But I had one guy come up and he says, I run the security Tango every week. And I thought,
why?
God bless you. And I told him this. I said, this is the analogy. He said, what? I said, yeah, it's not designed to be run every, where does it say on the website, run it every week? He says, well, I've wasted a hell of a lot of Sundays. Now that's suddenly my fault. Thank you very much. I guess we got to rewrite that. You're going to send me all those things and you haven't done it yet. And then I got to redo the site I'll put up that this is not something you do regularly.
Did you sell him a lot of ground coffee so he could enjoy it while he's doing the Tango?
It's going to run overnight, so take some coffee.
No. The reason I haven't is because the Soundbites CD is going through a major, major renovation.
Oh, good.
My partner Dan has been working on it. Now, when you put the CD in, he has added our logo.
Very nice.
And the theme music. And we've broken out. We have broken out. It only plays it for a few seconds. But we have broken out the menu because there are so many tools out there. We have broken the menu out and are giving folks better options. You know, utilities and everything else. Some of the other programs I'm adding in. The other program that I talked about was ATF. And that's the one that if you've got a lot of stuff on, you know, multiple identities. So the family has, say, five folks logging on. It will go in and clean out all the temp and junk files and cache and everything for all five identities or how many identities you have. So we've been putting together these tools, and we're just putting the final touches on it. We're hoping to have it ready within the week or so. So it's going to be a whole new CD with some new stuff. So then from there, I can then pass it on to you, and you can take a look at it, and we can then update what we want to put on as far as the security tango and that type of stuff. Because, again, I had one client where Avast won't work on Windows 98 anymore. I mean, they've done away with it because of the support. You know, so I'm making some major changes, and I'm also updating. I just started, it was Wednesday night, updating my recommendation list for this upcoming holidays.
Nice.
As a minimum system. So we've been kind of working on two different things here the past week or so. In between work and everything else, and a family, like the rest of you guys, you know, it just doesn't end. But, yeah, we hope to have that up and released within the next week or so.
Nice.
But getting back to the callers, I'll call it the emailer's email.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I might suggest
that
is
was from Norm B.
From Norm, run a full scan disk. If it's taking that long to read and write your files, you may have something wrong with your hard drive.
Right.
So
right.
That's
right.
That's a possibility too.
Right. Absolutely right.
Oop. Very strong possibility.
Right. All right. Hackers have launched a massive web hacking campaign, putting malicious links on as many as 10,000 servers, according to security vendor Kaspersky Lab. We're estimating that in the last 2 days alone, between 2,000 and 10,000 servers, mainly in Western Europe and America, have been hacked. It's not yet clear who's doing this, according to Kaspersky on their website Friday. The attackers are most likely using compromised accounts on the websites or launching what's known as a SQL injection attack, where hackers trick the website software inadvertently running malicious commands. The criminals add a line of JavaScript code onto the hacked sites that redirects victims to one of six servers. These sites in turn redirect the visitor to a server in China. That server can launch a variety of attacks targeting known flaws in Firefox, Internet Explorer, Adobe's Flash Player, and ActiveX. If the victim's computer hasn't been patched, the attack code could install a variety of spyware and Trojan horse software, including one program designed to steal World of Warcraft passwords. Ah! Sorry.
It'll be the end of the world of Warcraft.
Of Warcraft. These web attacks have become fairly common this past year, according to Roger Thompson, chief security officer with AVG Technologies. These guys are pretty busy, he said. We see them a lot. Judging from their techniques and from his previous research, Thompson believes that the attackers are college students based in China and that they may be the same group that notoriously hacked the websites of the Miami Dolphins and Dolphin Stadium ahead of the 2007 Super Bowl football championship. Earlier this year, a similar attack compromised more than 1.5 million web pages. Kaspersky said things are still developing, and the similar nature of the malicious programs used in both attacks leads us to think that this new wave of attacks is potentially pretty serious. But you want to notice what I said here. If the victim's computer hasn't been patched, the attack code could run. So if you have, in fact, got an up-to-date, patched-up system, you should be fairly safe. The question is, do you? And many, many people don't patch their systems well enough or often enough or regularly enough. I still get people say, should I download Service Pack 2? Considering
2?
For XP, yeah, 2. Yeah, 2.
Whoa!
And the answer is, well, considering 3 is out, yeah, maybe you should. Yeah.
If you even can.
Well, right, right.
Is Service Pack 2 still available for download now that 3 is out?
No, I think.
Probably not.
Yeah. You might be able to on maybe a few other sites, like anything else on the web. It's right. Never truly gone.
I think somebody can still get it somewhere on Microsoft's site.
Or even some other person might have grabbed the file and hosted over on theirs. I mean, it's just one big file. You can download and then run it on your machine. So who knows?
Right.
Like you say, I've been doing Service Pack 3 since, for the most part, I know for a while there we were telling folks to avoid it. But like anything else, you know, I'm very cautious.
They've worked the bugs out, mostly.
Well, the thing that is I don't want to be the pioneer. And the way you tell the pioneers are the ones with the arrows in their back.
Right.
And I don't want to be responsible, especially for us being on the air here, to go, oh, yeah, go ahead and install that. And then somebody come back, and because it was a business computer, and we told them go ahead and do it, and all of a sudden it trashed their whole machine.
Right.
That's why, same thing is, I will never, and I have never, matter of fact, somebody tried to tell me, came in the shop one time and tried to tell me that I did, tell folks to go into the registry. Wrong. Never have, never will.
Right.
Because that is too dangerous. That's like handing somebody a loaded gun, and there's five bullets in there, and one's out, until you play Russian roulette.
I had a guy on AskNick.com, ding, okay, I'll do it, who was having a real problem with some stuff. And I kept telling him, well, try this. And he got really annoyed and said, look, none of this stuff is working. What the hell? I finally said, look, I know exactly how to fix this. You go into the registry and you change this and this and this and this. But I will tell you right now, do not do that. You will screw up your machine and I will not be responsible. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to give you every other thing you could conceivably try first before you take the very risky choice of screwing up your machine forever.
Also known as the nuclear option.
Exactly. And I said, I don't even want to hear about it. I'll give you back your $15. If you try this, I'm telling you right now, you will screw up your machine. I'll guarantee it.
Well, yeah.
And he wrote back and he said, okay, I started on the procedure you gave me and I realized I really didn't want to click that next button. He said, I'll take it to some. I said, good, there you go. Now we're talking. Let them take the hit. I told him, take it to one of you guys. Let you take the hit. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the deal, right?
No, I feel comfortable because I back it up.
Right. You do all that stuff.
Yeah, I know enough because, we've done it.
Right.
Because I can do it on a test machine and screw it up in 2 seconds, and I can do it very easily.
Right.
It's just like...
screw it up in 2 seconds? Is that what he said?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I can. I can go in and literally delete a couple key registry keys.
That cut and copy are real close to each other, you know?
And I can trash it very easy or get some files so it won't boot right, too. That's a piece of cake.
Yeah. But you know that some things are easy on a computer.
Yeah, I get some folks that'll sit there and say, they'll want me to talk them through it. Bring it in and I'll do it.
Right.
Well, no, I'm trying to save some money. I go, well, I'm not going to be responsible if you screw it up.
Right.
Well, I feel pretty confident. I says, well, then, figure it out yourself then.
Then look it up on the web and do it.
Because they'll sit there and say, well, this should be easy for you. Yeah, it is.
I hate those. This should be easy. It shouldn't take that long. Well, then you fix it.
I agree. It shouldn't. Unfortunately, it does. Over it.
Well, it's like another client that I had. They brought in a laptop. And they admitted that their son was going by, and he pulled the cord. He was going by, evidently they had it wrong, and pulled the cord. So now they have to wiggle. He says, the power pack and all that's good. He says, I have another laptop just like it, and I know it's not the power pack, and it works fantastic. But you got to wiggle it around here and to get a good connection. And it's like, I got to prop it up and hold it in place. He goes, that should be an easy fix, right? I go, yeah, for me, but it's going to take you about 6 hours. He goes, 6 hours for what? It's just a simple little plug. I says, yes. See, the little plug's right there, right on the side, right? He goes, yeah. I says, that whole machine has to come apart. To get at that little plug. Right.
The backside of that little plug that you can see so
is
easily.
Is on the bottom part of the motherboard. That whole.
Oh, and by the way, how good are you at unsoldering and resoldering things on a 45 nanometer board? Because you're going to need to be that.
Right.
Because literally, we have to take the board completely out of the machine. it comes out along with everything else, and that's hundreds of little screws.
Yep.
In an analogous situation, I just yesterday found a way to install Linux, a working version of Linux, on a Power Mac, which is not easy. This took months and months of intermittent, admittedly, but months and months of intermittent trying to make this happen. Now that I know how to do it, the instructions fit on a single side of a sheet of paper.
Yeah, right.
So it's easy now, but it wasn't a while ago.
Right. People say to me all the time, where did you learn all this stuff? I said, well,
from the trail of broken computers.
From the trail of broken computers.
School of hard knocks.
25 years, you know.
We call that the University of Hard Knocks.
That's exactly right. You don't learn, you know, where can I learn this stuff? Get a time machine.
Go
back to the 60s. Oh, wait, no, you can start in the 70s. 60s was something else entirely.
Yeah.
But that's just it. You know, a lot of the stuff that we see nowadays, we've got 20, 30 years of experience. Dave's got, what, 200 or 300 years of experience
at least
on this stuff. And so for us, yes, it is easy, yes.
And
to impart to you the knowledge for it to be easy for you is the work of months and months and months.
I've always said it's because we started in programming, because that's all there was back then. You wanted to program for your computer, you wrote it yourself.
Yep.
We know how computers are supposed to work,
which
makes it easier to figure it out when they're not working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
it also comes down to the simple fact of observation. This is what I talked about before with the Tango. You know how it's supposed to look and feel and work. There's a feel to computers. And if you know how it's supposed to feel, when it doesn't feel right, then you run the Tango. And the same thing with when somebody brings a machine into your shop.
How long has it been making that noise? Oh, 6 months.
Exactly. Exactly. When did you first notice this? Oh, about 2 months ago. And was there anything else? Well, there was this funny burn smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And that didn't, like, surprise you or interest you in any way.
But it kept working.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it's not.
And now it's not. Exactly. So, yeah, there's a lot of observation to a computer, and a lot of what we do is stuff that just got absorbed into our heads over the last 30 years. And it's hard to impart that knowledge to someone, particularly to someone over the phone, who's incensed because it's not working right now and they're only half listening.
And especially if you don't know them, you don't know how well they can follow instructions.
That's right.
Which is a big part of it.
I get that all the time. People
skip step 3 because they didn't understand it.
Exactly. I get that all the time. Your security Tango doesn't work. All right, what happened? Well, here at step 4, this didn't happen. Well, what happened at step 3? Well, I skipped step 3 because I didn't understand it. Oh, and you're surprised that step 4 didn't work? Huh. You're the guy who has stuff left over at Christmas Eve when you're building things. You've got, like, screws left over, and then on Christmas Day, the thing falls apart and your kid's in the hospital.
They always give you extra screws.
That's ridiculous. So, at any rate, that was kind of a multi-person rant, right?
Yeah. Well, it's good. You know, I mean, well, it's also warning folks. I mean, because so many folks try to do it, and it's like one of my other rants, you know, I did a while back. A lot of folks don't know when to step away from the machine because they're not feeling very lucky today.
Back away before someone gets hurt.
And, you know, they just don't know when to know their limitations. They hear, I'll just try this. Right. And again, they get click happy. What I call click happy. They just go, yeah. And they don't take the time to read the screens because they're just so in a hurry to get it done. Unless you've read them once and know what the heck you're doing, take the time.
My favorite is someone I won't mention by name, but his initials are father-in-law. I love this man. But he was for many years he is an engineer. His degree is he's an OE.
This is the guy who makes the wooden mechanical clocks.
Yes, he is. He's an OE, over engineer. And he is a wonderful man, but he gets impatient. So he calls me up for computer advice. And as I'm telling him step by step what to do, I can hear him doing other things. Trying other things. And he says, you know what just happened? What, Dad? And now we've got two problems to solve. And while I'm trying to solve the second problem, he's creating a third and a fourth problem. So I've now told him, I'll tell you what, we'll be out Sunday. Don't touch it. I'll be out Sunday. And then it's a four-minute fix. It's a 40-minute drive to his house, but it's a four-minute fix. And this I get from people all the time. Well, hold on while I try that. No, let me give you all the steps first. Don't try one step, go off to Cleveland, and then expect to end up somewhere in Fort Myers, Florida.
Log
it's not going to work that way.
Log me in.
Right, right.
That is the program. I love that.
Log me in works. Yeah, there's programs like that. But the other thing is, what people tend to forget, how do we get off to ranting today? The other thing that porks me off, it's my rant today.
Because it's been months.
It's been months. The other thing that really porks me off is people don't think twice. If you try something and it doesn't work, put it back the way it was before you try something else. And write down what you did so you can undo it. There is no shame in paper and pencil. There is no shame in writing down what you just did. There is no shame in looking at that piece of paper to put it back right.
and one of our tricks is make one change at a time.
Make one change at a time. If it doesn't work, undo it before you do the next one. Oh, there are people I want to slap right now.
Oh, well, let's go off topic here for a minute. Since we're doing rants. Well,
off topic?
Yeah,
we've been off topic.
No, we're now
launching into space.
Steve, aren't you glad we're on this side of the room?
No, this is, talking about ranting and everything else.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing how folks have to slow down.
Yeah.
All right. You got to picture this. Friday, I decided, all right, I was going to buy lunch for the crew.
Sure.
I says, okay, because we've been working our butts off and doing a great job and everything else. So I asked them where they want to go. And they says, oh, let's do Taco Bell. We've been wanting Taco Bells. We've been talking about burritos and everything else. So, all right, so we'll go over to Taco Bell. I says, all right, I'll go over and get it. So here it is. Like,
glad I wasn't in your shop about 3:30.
No, I make sure it's delayed. Step outside, please. But so now I go over to Taco Bell. It's 11:55. And I get in there, and hello, I expected it. It's lunchtime. It's Ridge Road East.
Right.
The place is jammed out the wazoo.
Duh.
Duh. So I get in there, and sure enough, it's, people waiting and everything else. So I go ahead, and the one young lady, though, she is very good. She wound up taking the orders, and getting them through, but they were shorthanded. And she even announced it. She goes, please be a little patient. We are shorthanded. A couple folks didn't come in. And I apologize. All right.
I got a piece of software that fixes that. Anyway, go ahead. I do. Yeah.
But, they were sitting there and were filling orders as fast as they could.
What day was this?
This was Friday.
Friday? Because I went to that Taco Bell on Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, so I was in there, and, the girls moving, and the folks are moving as fast as they can. Well, I get my receipt, and I'm waiting for, and it's taken a good 25 minutes or so. Well, this one lady, she started at about 19 minutes after. She was like three people behind me, and she's got two little kids. And she's going.
Yeah, teach your children well.
She's going off and ranting. She's going, what is this? God darn brain surgery? And she's ranting and raving. And here these poor folks are doing their best to provide a service. And they're busting their butt, going pretty fast. And she's yelling, I want my money back. And, well, ma'am, it's only going to be a few more minutes. And she's just going on and on. Here's these two other little kids. And what an example. So if I called my number, and I go up there. Meanwhile, she's right behind me, and she comes, and she bumps me. She goes, now, GD, where the heck's my order? Is my order coming next? I grab my order, I turn to her, and I says, ma'am, chill out. I says, they told us when we got here that it was going to be a little long. Well, damn it, it's only tacos. How long does it take? I says, everybody's got to wait their turn. Why don't you? Oh, shut up. Who the hell was talking to you? I said, ma'am, save your heart for better things.
You're announcing it to the world. The world's going to respond.
In the restaurant,
give me a round of applause.
We're sitting there smiling at me, and all shaking their head. Yeah. It's like, honey, save it for better times.
Right.
And it's what do your kids think? You get that angry over tacos?
I've always felt that everyone should be required to put in at least a year as either a waiter or waitress, you know, behind the counter. I did my 2 years at Pizza Hut.
Yep.
And I did, responsible for...
Yeah, right.
But you get such an... I'm a fairly big tipper, and I've had girlfriends that will take money off the table. Oh, that's too much. No, it isn't. I know how these things work.
Yeah, that's me. I was a waiter in a lot of places, and I tip a lot. And people, what? Trust me, not a problem.
We had one time at the pizza place where a guy brought in like 20 kids for a birthday party. Took two waitresses over 2 hours just to wait on these 20 kids and everyone else in the restaurant.
Right.
He left a $2 tip.
Yep.
So they each got a buck.
Yeah. Yep. I hate cheap tippers.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it was an off topic. So, but folks, again, it just goes to the patience.
Got to be patient.
You've got to have patience, folks. And it's the same thing when you're working on the machines. You know, folks sit there, oh, this thing is so slow. Well, if you want to go slow, then, you know, go back to old dial-up and like on an old 286.
And stop doing so much. We've said over the years that the simple basic entry computer has grown so fast that it used to be, oh, I just want to type a couple of letters. Now it's, oh, I just want to get on the internet and watch videos. Well, that's a pretty intensive thing.
Yep. Well, I had that problem on Friday. One of my faculty members, my machine is slow.
Yes.
So I go down, and he's got 8 different documents up on the screen, 5 or 6 spreadsheets doing research, right? And that's completely fair, right? 10 or 12 websites open, all of which, of course, have some sort of flash ad running in the corner. Yes, your machine is slow. Close down any 8 of the things you have open, any 8 of them, and you will be fast. Well, I can't. I have to have them all for research. Then your machine's going to be slow. And he has a very fast machine, you know? They don't make machines that are much faster than that.
All right, speaking of that, let's go into another... email question here, the email bag, and this is Todd from Webster. And sort of right on the top of we're talking. He says, problem, since installing Service Pack 3, fast user switching doesn't work. I went to the control panel / users accounts and verified fast switching was enabled. When I turn it off and back on again, all that happens is that when I go to switch that user, it takes me to the welcome screen. If I click on another user, it just pauses and then blinks and then takes me back to the welcome screen. The only other way I can switch users is in the log off and then log on as another user. I suppose I can live with this, but my wife has a real problem with it and expects me to resolve it. Please help me make her happy. Todd and Webster, P.S., since installing Service Pack 3, cold starting the computer takes much, much longer than before. After clicking on my user / icon on the welcome screen, there is an extremely long pause where I also see the Windows wallpaper / without icons and start bar. The icons and start bar do not appear for minutes later. It never did this before. Thanks in advance for your help. I think he wants us to save a marriage.
Yeah.
Again, I think he, you know, he sits there and says that he did the service pack, but he doesn't say whether he's actually scanned the machine or anything else, that something else is going on. There are a number of Trojans out there right now that are taking over, and literally, we had one this past week and a half ago that took over the whole screen. I mean, it would not let us get into the control panel or do anything. A lot of the options were literally blanked out, and the only way we could do it was go into the registry. And again, that's where I'm not going to tell folks how to do it, because it's dangerous. And you can screw up the whole machine. But if you're having issues like that, I would first recommend, and I know folks say, oh, you always say run the Tango. Because yes, that is the biggest issue right now. There is a lot of stuff out there. Not like the viruses, they're Trojans and malware. Because they don't want to slow down your machine or put up this stupid screen that sits there and just says, oh, you've been hacked, ha, ha, ha. No, they want it to stay on the machine and steal as much information as they can. So I would highly recommend for Todd and to save his marriage and what's going on here and making his wife happy is first run the Tango. Otherwise, you're going to have to take it into a shop and see what's really going on because, one, it's very vague just doing the service package.
From some quick Google searching, it's not that uncommon. The more applications you have running, the slower fast user switching is. The less RAM you have, the slower fast user switching is. So he maybe his machine was marginal with Service Pack 2, and now he's got Service Pack 3 on it, and it's being overwhelmed.
One of the other things, speaking of...
Right, did they say how much RAM they have?
No, he didn't.
You want...
Yes, only 512.
Yeah, there you are.
You go, yeah.
You want a minimum of a gig, and if you're really going
to make a gig for each user,
if you really want to make any sort of dent in the time it takes to switch users, you want to have 1 gig per user.
Yep.
Well, maximum of 3 gig, of course, since XP really can't handle more than that. But if you're going to have 2 users and you want real fast switching, and you want it to be actually fast, you want it to be at least a 2 gig machine. 512, you're just not going to get it. Get over it.
Steve, I don't know if you've heard of this one. You know how there's a scam going on right now for the antivirus, Windows antivirus 2008 and 2009?
Right.
Well, they've added a new twist. They've got a very official-looking splash screen that comes on. I mean, it's even got the bar and shield
nice.
And all this. I mean, they
certified.
Did, yes, they did a kick-butt job of it. Well, the guy, I had this one client, very good friend of mine, call, and he's all embarrassing. He said, I don't want to admit that I did it, but... He called, paid $79.95
yep.
to get this, and said, okay, blah, 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 fix it. Well, he tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah,
surprise. No, it gets better.
But wait, there's more.
Yes. This time, they even include a number to call.
Nice.
So, again, he gets somebody that sounds like they're talking in India.
Yeah.
And...
Which is normal these days.
Which they had him make some changes.
Oh,
and they said, okay, now tell you what, go ahead and reboot that and see what happens. Call us back if it doesn't work. Click. And he said, they hung up real fast. So he goes and reboots. Boom, nothing. Blue screen.
You think?
So now he tries calling it back.
No answer.
And no, constant busy signal. I think once they see that you call, they flag that number.
Nice.
And it must go into dumped it because I was talking to another friend of mine. He goes, they're marking that phone number that once you called, you think you're getting good technical support. Then they just dump you into they mark that number.
Right.
Goes to dev null.
And then automatically just goes to an automatic busy signal.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. All right, I'm very disappointed. Microsoft clearly is not trying hard enough. They're slacking off. Last week they said they will release only 2 security updates this coming Tuesday, down from the 11 issued in October's Mammoth Patch Tuesday to fix bugs in Windows and Office. One of the 2 will be rated critical, Microsoft's highest threat ranking, while the other will be tagged as important, which is the next highest ranking. Both of the updates will address vulnerabilities that can be used to execute remote code, a description that generally means hackers could leverage the bugs in order to plant their own malicious code on vulnerable PCs, often by convincing users to open a file attachment or tricking them into visiting a rogue website. The most serious of the pair targets 1 or more flaws in Microsoft's XML core services and will require patching all still supported editions of Windows, including Windows 2000, XP, Vista, Server 2003, and Server 2008, as well as Office 2003, Office 2007, SharePoint Server 2007, and Groove Server 2007. This is the XML core services. They're not kidding. They're core. They have been in every single version of Windows that there is, including the unsupported ones. So if you are one of those people still using Windows 98 or Windows 95, you are vulnerable and there will never be a patch for you. This is at least the second month in a row where there has been a patch that you should have gotten but will not because it's no longer supported. If you're running Windows 95 and you get a virus, just don't call us anymore.
Yeah.
Their patch is spelled LINUX.
Exactly. Simply, there's no point in calling us. We can't help you with Windows 95 or Windows 98 anymore.
No, you sit there. No, you can't say this. Chris, because not everybody's just going to go to Linux. There's a lot of folks. That's quite a serious learning curve. Yeah. And there's a lot of folks out there with 98 and 95.
And updating to a new version of Windows is going to be a serious learning curve, too. So that's either way, they're screwed.
For a lot of folks out there, Linux is like it is right now. It's for a very small group because there is quite
This is where I have to disagree with you. I've given Linux to people who've never used a computer before in their lives. I've given Linux to people who've used 98. I got an 80-year-old guy who just said, "Oh, I just installed Linux. You were right. It's easy."
But I've had a number of others, though, that just don't want to go there.
They don't want to go there. That's different from not being able to go there.
No, that's what I'm
saying.
That's
an entirely different thing. You can be as stubborn as you want to be, but you can't pretend. You can pretend to be stupid, but I'm not going to believe you.
But that's what I'm saying, though, Nick. That's what I'm seeing, though. Yep. A lot of them are just
Well, then you know what?
Yeah.
Stick with what you got. Get your viruses. Don't call us. Those are your choices.
Yeah. Well, that's
I can be just as stubborn as you are. I'm running Windows 95. Then I'm not talking to you anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done. We're done. Whatever the rest of the conversation is, it will end up with me saying I can't help you. So let's both save the next 2 minutes of our lives.
Well, that's where I was arguing. Again, you know, like you say, you got to choose your bet. The person that was still running Windows 3.11.
Wow. Yep. Yep.
You know, what do you do? You know, you can sit there and say, well, try this or that. No. If I can't, I just like this.
Okay, then you're going to get owned and then you're done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice playing. Tell him what he would have won, Johnny.
That's what I'm saying, though. You just get some, though. And I see a lot of them. I don't know whether Steve does, but a lot of them that are just, and there's quite a few out there that just won't go that way. They are just. It's like the blinders are on, and they don't see anything either side of it, no matter what. They don't even see the curb.
Or they finally decide to upgrade their 10, 15-year-old computer and are upset that most of their documents won't transfer because they've missed 10 versions.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You can usually skip 2, maybe 3 versions, but
I have a very dear friend
and
who
it's all
is,
our fault.
Yeah.
Who is incapable right now of affording Office but won't use OpenOffice because it's not the same.
Oh, my dear.
So, okay, then. All righty. Then you have nothing.
He won't even try?
Won't even try it.
Wow.
Okay, then you have nothing.
That's unfortunate.
Well, what can I do?
Yeah.
Notepad.
Or K-Office.
WordPad. No, none of that stuff. Well, no, it's got to be Office.
Notepad and WordPad aren't Office either.
I can't help you. Yep. I cannot help you.
No, and we...
No, what you do is you download OpenOffice and rename each of the X's. And then he'll click on an icon that says Word.
I have actually seen a desktop.
You're schemish.
I have actually seen a desktop where they were labeled word processor, spreadsheet, and presentation tool. They had the Windows icons, but when you opened them up, they were OpenOffice. Yep.
I had one gentleman.
I was highly amused.
I had this one gentleman still running Windows 98. And this is how paranoid he is. He figures anything else is conspiracy that they're going to get into his computer and steal his information.
I personally, for gentlemen like this, $20, I have tinfoil hats for your computer.
No,
I will sell you one.
Unhook the internet. If you're that paranoid of going out and even getting a new system, unplug it.
I will sell you a pencil and a paper.
They just want to steal it. And he thinks everything is just a huge conspiracy to get
his But Windows 95 wasn't a conspiracy?
98. No, he's 98.
Oh, he's all the way up to 98.
This guy's all the way up to 98.
I don't know. He's dipped his toe in the water now.
And his wife, though, she just sits there and shakes her head because I set up a new machine. And no lie, he is so paranoid that because her machine is on there, it's going to get over to his and infect his machine. We're not sharing them.
Please, his machine is already infected.
Microsoft will find some way to sneak through and get from her machine to mine.
Why don't we sell him Unix?
It's like, you know, you just don't.
You know what? These are the kind of guys you buy them a little land on a mountaintop somewhere in Montana, a couple of guns, a big sign for the UFOs when they come down, and you're done.
Private Idaho.
The wife is just sitting there. Shaking her head, and she's the wise one. She doesn't say anything.
That's right.
It's like, all right, honey, whatever you think, believe what you want, and she just continues searching the internet and does her machine. I got her protected. She's doing the whole tango, got everything set up, and you know, she's the same age. 70. She was 74, same as him.
What is the saying? If people who will not ever change their minds are exhibiting an inability to think out the same thing twice?
Yeah. Well, it's good to be somewhat paranoid, but this is an example of OP, like your father-in-law is an over-engineer.
Right.
This guy's over-paranoid.
Right. Well, there's a difference between paranoia and doing something about that paranoia, and paranoia and then being paralyzed by it. Paralyzed paranoia.
And then there's the paranoia that results from actually being chased and...
Well, right. That's not paranoia. If you actually have enemies, it's not paranoia.
True enough.
But paranoia paralysis is just, you know what? I can't help you now.
But I mean,
I've gotten my toe this far into the water and no farther because there may be sharks at the very next step.
I mean, okay. Dan and I were just getting so frustrated with the guy because he just kept thinking, well, what about this? They could get in to do this. What about this? They could do this. No. He just didn't want to accept no. Because we weren't sharing anything on his machine or her machine,
and
that Microsoft.
But he's on the internet, where everybody can get it. His
Blue Ice is going to crash through your roof any minute now.
Exactly. Exactly. No. You know what? There's times when you just there's nothing you can do.
Well, we've got a special announcement we didn't mean to make before we get this. Depending on when this airs.
Right.
We don't know. Actually, it's probably too late.
No, it'll be next. Next Saturday.
So for all our time travelers, this coming Wednesday, November 12th.
Right. For us, it's this coming Wednesday. For you, we don't know.
Right. The Apple Cider User Group meeting is going to be having a very special guest talking about distributed computing, and his name happens to be Chris Reich.
Chris Reich, the world famous Chris Reich, the audio engineer who does such a brilliant job on the Soundbites podcast every week. That Chris Reich?
In the flesh.
No, man, I'm not going then. Whoa. I don't know about the in the flesh part.
Special guests of mine.
Excellent.
As well.
And that is, again, tell us what that's about.
Oh, distributed computing. The practice of using multiple computers to do wondrous and marvelous things, like cure diseases and, you know,
excellent
trivial
stuff.
Things like that.
And that's Wednesday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at East High School, which is at 1801 East Main Street at Culver.
Very nice.
Use the Ohio Street entrance to the school building.
Your own personal Ohio.
Under the radio tower, so we get all those all those waves.
Yeah, right. I will be selling tinfoil hats at the door. So yeah, that'll be good. We need to get this podcast out immediately because it's not going to air until next Saturday, and all of those data. So, I mean, for this one, maybe we just cut the front and the back off and just shoot it out there.
Okay.
Because it's not going to air until next Saturday.
That's the way it's going to have to be for the next...
Right, until January.
Yeah.
The sooner the faster, because people just simply aren't...
Because next week we will be... So if you're hearing this, we will be live next Sunday. That's the 16th of November at our normal time from 11 to 1. So if you want to get caught up on everything else that's been happening because you've been listening to these pre-recorded shows, you don't want to miss next Sunday's show when we will be live without a net on the air from 11 to 1. So please, don't miss that.
Right.
So to reiterate, this particular recording we're making at the moment will not have the normal professional editing job done.
Right. Okay. And that's fair because Ashcan has been doing a great job of just getting the thing out.
Yeah.
From the airwaves.
Thank you, Ashcan.
Right. And he's been doing a great job of that. And then he takes it down when the professionally done one goes up. But he's not even going to be able to get that up until next Saturday, right?
Right.
So we really just need something up there, something up so that people get this.
Steve, you'll have it sometime later today.
Excellent. Just cut the beginning and the end off and shoot it up. And we'll probably be doing that right through the end of the year, until we go back live on the air. Yeah. That's the way it's going to be. We're going to be on the following Saturday from when we record this.
Well, and that's going to jump around quite a bit too because of the SU football games. Like, there's some 1 o'clock games, there's some 4 o'clock games, and we've got to check out the schedule and get that posted in the forums of when the SU football games are on now to find out their schedule. So, like I said, just when you thought it was going to be easy, it's not. They keep changing the rules on us.
But on the other hand, let's not forget.
That's what I was just going to say. We got to thank Wham, Jeff Hollett, and the whole crew.
God bless each and every one of them. They're keeping us on the air as much as they can. They're doing what they can. to help all our loyal listeners actually get this show. They could just as easily have said, you know what, too big a pain in the neck, you guys just go home till January. And they didn't, and God bless them for that. You know, no matter where we get, we're being chased from pillar to post. I get that. I realize how frustrating it is, but we're still on the air, and God bless each and every one of the folks at Wham, particularly Jeff Howlett, for making sure that that continues to happen. All right, looks like you're going to count me down this time. Looks like we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, of course, Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. We want to thank you all for listening. We'll be in Second Life. We'll be on the web. We'll be doing all of those interesting things. You have been listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.